Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, it is 3 days after New Year's, 2016, which is really, really hard to believe. And it is the 10th day of Christmas. So remember, guys, at any time that you feel like leaping, feel free to do it. All right. Yes, we had one Lord of Leaping. Yay. That was awesome. Oh, we have a second Lord of Leaping. Oh, my goodness. This is really cool. Thank you. We just have eight to go. Yeah. And we'll stay here until, no, I'm kidding, until that happens. So here's a question I have for you. And I know some of you are still recovering from the flu. So I'm not expecting you to jump. So here's a question I have for you. How many of you, be honest, put your Christmas decorations away? What does that mean?
Half.
Half the Christmas decorations. Yeah. What is it about this time of the year? Like we can't wait for Christmas to come in. And then something happens when New Year's happens, right? We can't wait for Christmas to be ushered out, right? We're trying to get things back to normal, to the status quo. Because when we take out our Christmas decorations, that means the normal things have to go somewhere, right? And then all the Christmas decorations come out. And then there comes a point in time where we're like getting antsy, right? And we're like, all right, already, I need for normal to come back. So what do? We then pack away all those things and bring everything back, and we take a breath, right? We take that exhaling breath that says, the house is back the way it's supposed to be. It's the time in which we stop the baking, right? Does the baking not cease? No more Christmas cookies, right? No more. Thank goodness. It's the time in which we say the eating must cease, right? And I'm going to say the overabundance, because I don't know about you, but I overabundantly eat during this time of year. Yeah. It's the time in which the gifts that we've received have to find their place. Either they go into the closet, or if it's kids' toys, right, they have to find a place to exist. So for the week or a few weeks in which we felt everything was out of sorts, everything is now back in the place where it's supposed to be. Why are we in such a rush to tuck away Christmas? Have you ever thought about that before? Because we are in a rush sometimes towards the end. We love it when we're going through it, but then it's almost like there's a beginning and an end. And so we have to tuck it all away now. And I was curious about why are we in such a rush to tuck away Christmas, to put it away in a place, store it in an attic above our garage. When I lived up north, it would go in the basement. Sometimes it goes in our garage. Sometimes it goes in that extra room that we got to stick all the stuff that we use maybe 4 weeks out of the year, right? Why are we in such a rush? What if we kept out our evergreen tree? Now, if it's real, I get it. It's not going to be evergreen. But if it weren't real, what if we kept out our birth scene, the nativity scene? What if we kept out, let's say, the angels? What if we kept out a piece of Christmas and held on to that Christmas message all year long? Well, it's an interesting question, and I think that it depends upon how you define Christmas. What is the message of Christmas? What is the mystery of Christmas? And I hate to say the word magic, but we hear that a lot, don't we? The magic of Christmas. So I thought about that for myself. What does Christmas mean for me? And we can still talk about this because we're in the 10th day of Christmas. And so as a child, right, when I was probably about 7 or 8 years old, I did recognize that it was about the birth of Jesus. I knew that. My parents talked about the story all the time. We had traditions that revolved around, lighting the Advent wreath every Sunday. But there were also other traditions that went along with that, right? Like listening to Christmas music. Mitch Miller, that was my favorite. Boy, that album came out, I'd put it on and I would start singing along to Mitch Miller. Now, I come from butchers and bakers, no candlestick makers. But butchers, we always had the best cut of meat that you could possibly imagine, and the food was amazing. The bakers, Christmas cookies, they were from Germany. I mean, the cookies and the baking was absolutely amazing. And then there is the picking out of the gifts that we would like to receive. Do you remember this when you were a kid? So there was a book that used to come to our house.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. The Sears Roebuck. It's not just, it was the Christmas book, but it was the wish book. And I can remember sitting through there, flipping through it, you know, pointing out, writing out my list. You know, these are the things that went. I don't even, how do kids do it today? How do you guys do it today? Do you look online? You look online. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, so this was our online version. Well, we had to share it, right? We had to share it. You couldn't hog this thing. And then you would write out what it was and what page it was on, and then you'd cross that off. No, I want this instead, right? So that's what Christmas was for me. And it was also about making sure that I got the right present for my family. And I was very much focused on what would be the right gift. And I was one that always made gifts. Thinking about what would be important for my oldest brother when he got married, I was about 10 years old, and I heard that they were going to do the house in early American. So I ran down to Woolworths and I bought a paint-by-number American Native Indians. And I painted them, and I gave them to him. He's like, what is this for? Why would you think we'd be interested? I said, Native American, right? You know, so I'm always thinking about, you know, early American. So always thinking, what's the perfect gift? But the most special part of that day really was going to church together as a family. So at that time, I was feeling Christmas, like really feeling it as you do when you're a kid. Now, then I'm in college. And what happens when you're in college? Right? Everything happens at the same time. End of semester. You got to write papers. You have to take your tests. You have to go out and you have to get the gifts now for everyone in the family, right? You have to work. There's no stopping. And it's almost as if you forget, oh my gosh, and I have to get to worship and I have to spend time with my family and I have to spend time with my boyfriend's family. And it's like you're just checking things off of the list to make sure that you can just hold it together at that time. So at that time, I didn't even know what I was feeling, other than Christmas is here and there's just so much that has to get done. And then I get into my 30s and I'm beginning to experience losses in my life and understanding what Christmas is like without the people who had been in my life before. And now I'm just trying to hold it together and not be teary-eyed for my family. And I'm buying gifts. And I have a new family because I married a man who had two children. And so now I'm running around buying, right? I am honoring old traditions and creating new traditions for my family. But something new is happening in all that. I am worshiping in a place, in a church, with my church family. It's almost like I'm starting to settle in and understand who I am and what Christmas is about. And I wanted things to be perfect, but you know, at that time, things weren't perfect. And it didn't feel perfect because at times in those years, I just wasn't feeling it. Today, for me, Christmas is about dwelling in the event that happened so long ago. It's not a feeling for me anymore. It's not how I would define it. For me, it's about celebrating the mystery of God, the Word made flesh. It's about experiencing what the birth of Christ was. As I grew in my faith, and it took me a long time, for many, I am in awe when I look at teenagers or 20-year-olds or younger who get it that early. I say, oh, you're so blessed by the Holy Spirit. But for me, it took a lot longer. And as I grew in my faith, Christmas changed for me. the meaning and the message of Christmas move from being the a consumer of the story to being consumed by and up into the story. It moved from an event that had a beginning and an end to an experience that lasts a lifetime. It moved from just simply writing words on a card that said, "May the peace of Christ, the love of God be with you," to really living into that and understanding what it was that I was writing. And you know, it was John's gospel that we heard this morning that moved me there. Of the four gospels, right, we know that Matthew and Luke tell the story because the story needs to be told. And there are bits and pieces that come from Matthew and from Luke that need to be put together that talk about the actual events of Jesus' birth. Now, Mark, remember Mark we were in last year, Mark just forget it. There's nothing even in there other than the lineage and where the history of Jesus' ancestors. But it goes right to Jesus' baptism because for Mark, it's like, I got to get the story out there of what's really important for Mark. But John introduces it in a whole different way that we heard this morning. In John, it's like we revel in it. The word is revealed to us of what actually did indeed happen. Christmas is the message of a God who loved the world so much that God became incarnate. God became a person. We have a God that will stop at nothing to get as close as possible to us and to be in a relationship with us. The Logos, the Word, Logos is the Greek word for the word that's used. The Logos, the Word, was with God, was of God, and from God, right from the beginning, in the beginning. In the beginning of time, way back when, the Word was present with the Holy Spirit and with God. Think about that. Jesus was always present from the beginning of time. Jesus isn't a creation of God. Jesus is God. And then we hear that the Word became flesh and lived among us. Something so new, so radically new was happening that people couldn't understand it. People couldn't see it. It was not believable. But some did. Some did see it. To some, it was indeed revealed. Now, before Jesus, God used nature as a vehicle to clothe God's self when God came. The burning bush, the cloud, the fire, right? God was always dwelling with God's people. But I don't know about you, but I can't have a relationship with a cloud. I can't have a relationship with fire. And I can't have a relationship with a bush. But I can have a relationship with a person who has bone and who has flesh. And so now God did something so entirely new that God clothed God's self in flesh and bone, became one of us, walked with us, cried with us, laughed with us, healed for us, taught us, and most important, died for us and was lifted up and resurrected by God so that we would have eternal life. How do you know that God is with us? How do you know what God is like? Look to Jesus. because that is where you will find God. That is where you will know the God who loves unconditionally. God as fully human, yet remaining fully God. God does something so radically new that sometimes we hear it so often, we forget it. No other God would do such a thing. What Greek God do you know would actually lower him or herself? Of course not. Gods are created, right? I mean, gods create human beings to serve them. We have a God who serves us. We have a God who wants to make sure that we are in relationship, that he will stop at nothing to be in relationship with us. We can't put away the incarnation, can we? As a matter of fact, I like to think about it when we fluff out our trees, right? We fluff out our trees, and then what do? We try to, like, stick it back in again, right? Shove it back in the box. Can we get these things back in the box? No. And that's how it is with the incarnation and with Christmas. Once it's opened up and treasured and understood, you can't put it back in the box. God says, no, I'm not going back in that box that you've made. Mm-mm. I'm here. I am with you, and I will be with you always. So while we try to get back to normal, you know something? There is no normal anymore. It's all different for us. We have a Savior who brings us new life every single day. So here, I'm going to challenge you to do something. I'm going to challenge you to leave out a little bit of Christmas. Leave it out in your home somewhere. Think about what it is that you want to leave out, that when you look at it, you recognize Christmas is not a start and an end. Christmas is for eternity. Christmas is a God who comes to be with us. And that can't be tucked away somewhere. Keep it out. And you know what? Invite people over. And when they ask you, what the heck is that doing out here? If they're your friend, they'll ask you that. If they're your stranger, if they're not your friend, they'll talk about you after you leave. But that's okay, because that means they're talking about it. And be the witness when they say, why is that still out? Tell me about that piece. And you will be able to say exactly what the meaning of it is for you. That we have a God who comes to us in the form of a human being, because you can't get any closer in relationship. And that's why I've left that out, to remind me of who I am. Think about what your physical reminder will be for this year, 2016, as this technical Christmas season comes to a close. Amen. Amen.